Welcome to another episode of Jamaican Gangster. On today's episode, we're featuring Christopher Dogpaw Linton. If you're not following us, we would be honored if you would consider doing so. It costs you nothing to hit that button so that you'll be notified every time we release a new episode. Now, let's get into it. The celebration started before the body was cold, when word moved through the eastern communities of St. Andrew on October 11, 2021, that Christopher Linton had been shot and killed near Golding Avenue in the Ellotson Flats area. Some residents did not grieve. They fired shots into the air, not in mourning, in relief. And in a neighborhood where people had lived under the weight of one man's name for more than a decade, that sound said everything the community could not say out loud for years. Dogpaw was dead. But long before the police intercepted his vehicle that Monday afternoon, before the gunfire and the hospital and the silence that followed, Christopher Linton had been something else entirely. He had been a boy from Tavern in St. Andrew who passed the entrance exam for Jamaica College, one of the most prestigious boys' schools on the island. He had sat in classrooms alongside the sons of professionals, politicians, and established families. He had a name his mother gave him, and a future that was not yet written in blood. That early passage into Jamaica College is one of the details that never quite leaves the story. How a boy smart enough to earn that place could end up commanding armed men across five communities? The answer is not simple, and it is not comfortable, and it tells you more about Jamaica than it tells you about Christopher Linton. He carried the alias Dogpaw from the time he was in seventh grade, according to a former schoolmate who spoke to the Jamaica Gleaner. It was not a name the streets gave him later. It was already his before the violence fully started. A former schoolmate said he was hugely famous at Jamaica College from the time he arrived, not for his academics, but for running a gang among his peers. He did not stay long. He was expelled. What happens in that space between the exam and the expulsion is where the story of Dogpaw really lives. Tavern in the hills of eastern St. Andrew sits in a geography of tension. Communities like Kintyre, Papine, Mudtown, Landlease, and Augusttown ring the area in a loose belt of working-class neighborhoods where political garrison culture, economic pressure, and territorial gang structure have been facts of daily life for generations. A boy who grew up in that environment, smart and restless, and already drawn to leadership at an age when leadership in those communities often meant controlling who moved and who did not, was not simply choosing a path. He was navigating a system that had very few exits and enormous gravity. By the time Linton entered his 20s, he had found the vacuum he needed. A gangster named Joel Andem had once controlled significant territory across eastern St. Andrew. But Andem fell to a 20-year prison sentence on firearms and shooting convictions. His fall opened the ground. Linton moved into it. According to original reporting by the Jamaica Gleaner, Linton emerged as a force in the underworld and extended his reach across the neighborhoods of Landlease, Mudtown, Kintyre, Papine, and Augusttown. The Dogpaw Gang was not simply a collection of armed men. It was a structured operation that police said ran a successful extortion ring across the area. Linton was described as intelligent, and his subordinates regarded him with something closer to reverence than simple loyalty. The police were watching him long before they could touch him. He kept surfacing in their intelligence and disappearing before they could close. Then came the event that made his name a national story. In Bedwood Gardens in Kingston, a house was attacked by what investigators described as a group of approximately 50 men. They sprayed the structure with gunfire. Then they burned it. Inside, three people died. 50-year-old Maris Hilton, 31-year-old Diana Forbes, and her 6-year-old son, Jahame McKay. The youngest victim was a child who had done nothing except be present in the wrong house at the wrong hour. Police named Linton as a suspect in the killing and launched a manhunt. At one point, law enforcement offered $250,000 Jamaican to anyone who could assist in finding him. It was during that manhunt, the Jamaica Observer reported, that Dogpaw reportedly sent written messages to the police saying he was innocent and that he feared for his own life. The police responded and told him he could turn himself in safely. What followed was weeks of pressure on his network and on the communities that were either sheltering him or staying quiet out of fear. And then came the moment that split Jamaica's dinner tables, newsrooms, and social circles into two very different conversations about who Christopher Linton was and what he represented. When police located him at a house in Ellettson Flats, they were not alone in the house. With him was Leah Tavares Finson, 23 years old, educated, uptown, the daughter of Queen's Counsel Tom Tavares Finson and former Miss World Cindy Breakspare, one of Jamaica's most recognized families. A 9mm pistol was found at the property. Leah was detained and later released. Radio Jamaica confirmed she was interviewed in connection with the activities of the Dogpaw Gang operating in the Kintyre area. Her father's name was one of the most respected in Jamaican law and politics. Her mother's face had won a global crown. And here was their daughter, found in a house in Ellettson Flats, with the man police had been hunting for the killing of a 6-year-old child. Jamaica did not know how to hold that information quietly. The story spread fast and spread far. Some saw it as a scandal. Some saw it as a love story. Some used it to talk about class hypocrisy, about how uptown families presented one face to the public while their private lives crossed every line their public position was supposed to represent. Others pointed to the Garcia Report and decades of scholarship on the connection between Jamaican political elites and garrison violence, and said this was simply that same entanglement, wearing different clothes. What the record shows, without dispute, is that Leah Tavares Finson was present, was detained, and was eventually released. The murder case against Linton in the Bedward Gardens killings eventually collapsed in 2017 when prosecutors told a Home Circuit Court judge they were discontinuing the trial, citing the availability of witnesses. His co-accused, Yannick Ellis and Donald Allen, were freed. The case that had made Linton the most wanted man in Jamaica ended not with a conviction, but with silence. In February of 2013, however, the firearms charge from a separate incident caught him. Linton and his associate Micah Allen were convicted in the High Court for shooting at two police officers traveling in a service vehicle along Tavern Drive in April of 2010. They were each sentenced to 15 years in prison for illegal possession of a firearm and 15 years for shooting with intent. The sentences ran concurrently. Dogpaw went inside. What nobody fully discussed in the open when he went away was a thread that had been quietly present since the Ellettson Flats discovery. The two of them, the man from Tavern and the daughter of one of Jamaica's most prominent families, had not simply been hiding together. Word spread in the years that followed that a child had come from that connection. The record on the full details of that is thin, and the full accounting belonged to people who were careful about what they said publicly. But the story circulated, and the silence around it was its own kind of confirmation. Prison did not erase Christopher Linton from Eastern St. Andrew. It restructured the conversation around him. In his absence, the territories he had held began to shift. Other criminal actors moved into spaces his presence had previously made, inhospitable to rivals. His loyalists held some ground, but the grip was not the same. A resident told the Gleaner that not everybody was with him, that he had always had opposers, and that the years away had cost him more than time. In April of 2021, the Court of Appeal quashed his conviction. Linton and Allen were freed. He was driven from the Horizon Remand Adult Correctional Center and told the gathered press, with a confidence that seemed to belong to another era, "Freedom is a must, for deep hope is." He was returning to a world that had moved without him. The neighborhoods he had once controlled had reorganized. The loyalty networks had thinned. His right-hand man, Romaine Richards, known as Diddy, was still operating, but the structure that had made Linton central was fractured. And the police, according to Deputy Commissioner of Police Fitz Bailey, almost immediately began receiving intelligence linking Linton to new murders and shootings after his release. In June of 2021, He was among four men, shot by unknown assailants in the Cane River area of Bull Bay. He survived. He told people he had been shot in tavern. Police did not believe the account. The version that survived in official records placed the shooting elsewhere, which meant either Linton was managing information, or the incident carried consequences he was not ready to explain. Then came October 11, 2021. Officers received intelligence about armed men traveling in a vehicle in the Ellison Flats area of St. Andrew. They intercepted a Nissan Tida along Golding Avenue. Police reported that Linton stepped out of the vehicle and opened fire. The officers returned fire. A woman in the vehicle was taken into custody. Linton was shot and transported to a nearby medical facility where he died. He was 35 years old. He had been free for less than 6 months. In Dagam, the Independent Commission of Investigations confirmed it had responded to and begun an investigation into the fatal shooting. A .45-caliber pistol was seized. In communities across eastern St. Andrew, two responses happened at the same time. Some fired shots into the air in open celebration. Others grieved privately or said nothing at all, because saying anything in a neighborhood where people were still present and still watching carried its own risk. Romaine Diddy Richards, Linton's reported right hand, had been shot and killed in Kintyre by rival gangsters just 2 months earlier, in August of 2021. The inner circle had been dismantling piece by piece. When Dog Paw was killed, there was not much left to protect. In the days that followed his death, word spread that Leah Tavares Finson stood at his funeral and spoke of him as a protector and a father. Whether that accounting matched what the communities he had ruled over experienced under his name, only they could answer. But she said it, and people heard it, and Jamaica sat with the contradiction the same way it always does with these stories, quietly, in parts, and not all the way to the end. That question of how someone like him had found his way to someone like her was one Jamaica had been circling since the day the police found them together in that house in Ellison Flats. It never got a clean answer, and open is where it has stayed. The story of Dog Paw is not simply a story about a gang leader in St. Andrew. It is a story about what passes for upward mobility in a society where the formal path and the violent path run close enough that a boy who earned his place at Jamaica College can end up expelled, feared across five communities, connected to the death of a six-year-old child, linked by blood to one of the island's most prominent families, and dead at 35 on a road he had already driven twice before. The system did not just fail Christopher Linton, it built him. And the silence that surrounded him, the people who knew and said nothing, the structures that looked the other way, the relationships that should not have been possible but were, all of that was Jamaica too. That was the story of Dog Paw. If this episode moved you, if it taught you something, if it kept you up, share it. Follow us if you haven't already, and stay close. Because on the next episode of Jamaican Gangster, we are going somewhere you are not ready for.